We read from sacred scripture this afternoon from Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We read the first two sections, Aleph and Beit. So we'll be reading from verse 1 through 16. Verse 1 through 16. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. So far we read the text that forms the verses that form our text for this afternoon sermon would be the verses 1, 2, and 8. 1, 2, and 8. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. And verse 8, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. God bless the reading of his word. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, back in my home congregation at Bethel, I am about to begin preaching a series of sermons out of Psalm 119. There are many reasons for a pastor to preach through Psalm 119 to his congregation. Psalm 119 has a lovely, wonderful content that is intensely practical. Here in this psalm, you will find 22 words. Intensely practical words for the Christian life. That's one reason. And yet another reason is this: the outstanding spirit of devotion of the psalmist that he had towards his God. The psalmist wanted to please God. And that desire to please God was a fervent, wholehearted desire to please God with all his heart, in all his thoughts, and in all his ways. The psalmist was committed to the joy and delight of pleasing God and of walking in his ways. And how was he going to please God? God makes that answer plain. God makes that answer plain. That answer is his word. By his word. The psalmist was going to please God. We are going to please God by his word. And so what does the psalmist under inspiration do in Psalm 119? To know and remember God's word? He writes a song. He composes a poem and a song that will help him remember 22 different aspects of the Christian life 22 words to take with him all through his earthly pilgrimage to hide God's ways in his heart. That's what he does. For Psalm 119 is a poem and a song designed and purposed by the psalmist exactly for him to walk closely with his God in his word and to delight in it. And that's revealed by the very nature of the psalm. The psalm comprises 22 sections. 22 sections, each consisting of 8 verses. Each section is named and labeled with a Hebrew alphabet. The first section, Aleph, the Hebrew alphabet A, comprises 8 verses, for example, and all these 8 verses begin with that letter, Aleph. Verse 1, Aleph, verse 2, Aleph, all the way through. And then Beis, the second letter, all the way through from 9 through 16. The psalmist, evidently, by setting forth such a structure, was purposeful in memorizing God's word. Each section then carries a main thought, a key thought and word that the psalmist was going to commit to memory, by way of song, carrying a song with him, 22 songs with him for the Christian life. Little wonder then Psalm 119 has been called by many faithful Bible commentators the ABCs of the Christian life. So determined in his godly purpose was the inspired psalmist to keep focused and keep him walking in God's word that he was led by God to compose this special poem in song. And we join in with him on these ABCs of the Christian life. And this afternoon we join in especially by taking a look at the first section, which really introduces the whole thought of the psalm. This introductory section introduces the whole basic main thought of the psalm, which is this: the blessedness of walking in God's law. Consider with me then the first section by focusing on both the verses 1, 2, and 8 under the theme, the blessed who walk in the law. First of all, the wonderful law. Secondly, the spiritual activity. Thirdly, the great blessedness. The entire psalm, Psalm 119, beginning with this section, is in heart and essence about the blessed who walk in God's law. It all starts with these blessed ones saying to God, "How wonderful is the law of Jehovah." That being the case, beloved, let us consider right away what exactly this law is that the psalmist had in mind. More narrowly, of course, that word translated as law, the Torah in the Hebrew, refers to the moral law of God, refers to the Ten Commandments. Children, when you think of the word law, you think right away, don't you, of those two tables of stone that God delivered to Moses at Sinai, and which you hear read every Sunday morning, don't you? We all think of the moral law. We all think of the Ten Commandments given to Moses at Sinai in those two tables that spell out clearly to us God's way for us to love Him. To love Him and to love the neighbor. And that, in the first place, is a first aspect to this law that the psalmist refers to. But in the second place, and more broadly, but also more accurately, this word Torah in the Hebrew, translated as law, refers to all of God's word. all 66 books of the Bible. And that comes out from the meaning of this word in the Hebrew, which literally means instruction, doctrine, teaching. The psalmist is literally and explicitly here referring to Jehovah's instruction, Jehovah's doctrine, Jehovah's teaching. Accordingly, I submit to you that this refers not just to the Ten Commandments, but the entire Word of God. All of God's Word is His instruction. All of God's Word is His doctrine, is His teaching. And we are reminded of that by the Apostle Paul, the inspired apostle, in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and following. There he writes, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." All Scripture, referring to all 66 books of the Bible, given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the law of the psalmist refers to the entire Word of God and not just narrowly the Ten Commandments comes out also in how the psalmist refers to it in other ways throughout the entire psalm. So, for example, we read in verse 2, "Blessed are they that keep His testimonies." In verse 3, we read, "They also do no iniquity, they walk in His ways." But most explicitly, it is translated as word. And so verse 9, for example, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." And again in verse 17, "Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word." Verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path." And the approach to this word and law by the psalmist, you will notice, is not that it is a teacher of misery. To be sure, the law of God, the Ten Commandments, is God's teacher for us of our misery, which is our sin. That's what is commonly known as the first use of the law. And a good student of that law and its first use, the Apostle Paul confessed he knew his misery well out of that law. He cries out in Romans 7, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" That, however, is not the approach taken to the law and word of God by the psalmist in Psalm 119. Though, of course, it still very importantly does continue to show him and show to us our sin, to warn us about sin, to keep us from sin, to lead us away from sin towards God. As the psalmist declares, for example, in verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." But not as a teacher of misery, but rather as an expression of gratitude to God for all the wonderful benefits of His salvation. One of which we had in mind and we used this morning was partaking of Holy Communion together. The Lord is wondrous in all His benefits of His salvation. The psalmist wanted to express gratitude to God, and that's his approach to the law and word of God. All of God's word. And walking in them is one very important, essential way of saying thanks to God. That this is the case is seen by the fact that so much of Psalm 119 is characterized by obedience. Not an unwilling obedience, not a grudging obedience, but a heartfelt obedience. a heartfelt obedience of joy and delight. And that is explicitly and emphatically shown by the psalmist in those two verses of our text right away. Blessed, he cries, are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. And again in verse 2, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. That's the Aleph word, blessed, happy, joyful. The psalmist finds delight from the heart in obeying God. Psalm 119 gives expression to the desires and delights of a spiritually healthy and strong Christian. Is such a feeling familiar to us? Is this feeling of joy of heart in the way of walking in God's law and word something that is familiar to our souls? The expression of a thankful joy of obedience, you understand, is a very important indication of our spiritual health and condition. Is there, beloved, a lack of joy and happiness in your life? In connection with this psalm, I ask the following question in answer to that question. Might it be the case that we are not quite as focused upon God's word and walking in God's ways as we ought be? That was the joy of the psalmist. The joy of the psalmist set forth in the very first section and throughout all 22 sections, they speak about the joy of walking in God's law and word. The cry of the psalmist and attitude of the psalmist towards that law of Jehovah is that it was wonderful. It was a delight. It was wonderful for him. It was wonderful to the psalmist, especially because it reveals the God who gives it and his blessed ways. Let's focus first of all more narrowly on the law of God and what it reveals about our God. What do the Ten Commandments reveal about our God, children? Does not the Ten Commandments reveal that our wonderful God is holy? Does not the Ten Commandments reveal to us that our God is the God of love? The heart and the sum of the law is love me and love your neighbor as yourself. And that love is not the love that is held commonly by the world. This is a holy love. God reveals in his law that he is the God of holy love, that he has a standard, that standard is perfect, holy, and pure. That first of all. More broadly, the Word of God reveals so much more about our God, our wonderful God, and his ways. Just consider with me, for example, one chapter of the Bible. A beloved chapter in the Bible among Reformed believers, among us, is Isaiah chapter 40. How does Isaiah chapter 40 begin? It begins this way. Comfort ye, my people, says your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Telling us right away that our God is the God of comfort. That he wants his people to enjoy comfort. He's the God of all comfort. But Isaiah 40 reveals so much more about God. For example, now in verse 10, behold, we read there, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. And what does that reveal about our wonderful God? That word reveals that he is wonderfully strong. Not Boston strong. Not Chicago strong. God strong. Divine strength. That He is almighty. Absolutely sovereign. Strong He is. Strong is His hand. And His arm shall rule for Him. And yet at the same time, verse 11 of Isaiah 40, He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Strong He is. Wonderfully strong. And yet at the same time, verse 11 of Isaiah 40 reveals to us that our Heavenly Father is tender. Tender and faithful to us, His people. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom and shall gently, gently lead those that are with young. The Word of God reveals so many wonderful things about God. He's the God of comfort. He's the God of holy law. He's the God who is wonderfully strong and sovereign, almighty. He's the God who is tender and faithful to us, His people. The Word of God then was wonderful to Isaiah, as it was to the psalmist of Psalm 119, revealing who He is and all His wonderful ways, and therefore demanding a response. A fitting response from us. A response of awe and wonder. A response of worship. A response of thankful, joyful obedience. That we could be friends with this God, this wonderful God. Is it wonderful to us? Do we respond to Him and His Word with that wonder, some of that wonder, worship, thankful, joyful obedience? To be sure, of course, in this country, on this day, there are many who are attending church. Throngs of people flood into churches on Sunday in this nation. But this morning, this day rather, they treat God's law in these ways. They treat the Ten Commandments as a list of do's and don'ts. They have but a superficial, skin-deep appreciation for the law of God. They are just a series of legalistic instructions. Surely that's not our response, is it? Then at the same time, there are those who regard the law of God as a means to earn brownie points of salvation with God. They too see the law as a drudgery and a burden. How is it with you and I this afternoon with regard to God's law? How is it with us with regard to God's Word? Is God's Word wonderful? Is God's Word and walking in His Word truly joyful to us? What brings the greatest joy to us in our lives? What brings us pleasure and happiness? Is it walking in His Word? Or is it something else, something earthly? For the psalmist, and so it must be also more and more for us, it was the wonderful Word of God. Twice at the beginning of verses 1 and 2, he declares it plainly unto us. Blessed! Blessed! If it is with us, then also we will be like the psalmist and engage in a spiritual activity. What spiritual activity? The spiritual activity of walking in His law and Word. Verse 1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. This is the keeping, or more literally, the obedience of his testimonies. These verses, and in particular this psalm, tells us of the great value that God places upon obedience. It's not sacrifice, first of all, but obedience that receives the emphasis. In the way of an obedience, walking in obedience with Jehovah from the heart. When we offer sacrifices of praise unto God, they are sweet and acceptable unto him. This is an obedience, and an obedience from the heart. This is not an obedience to earn salvation before God. The psalmist indicates his right understanding of God's one way of salvation. Right away in verse 1, he says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way." What is the way? What is God's one way of salvation? How is it that these who keep God's law so imperfectly as the psalmist himself confesses, be seen by God as undefiled? The answer is Jesus Christ, who tells us unmistakably in John chapter 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Answer is Jesus Christ. That's God's way, one way of salvation. And to be sure, this is an obedience that is true and from the heart, and not something that is unwilling. Look at verse 2. That verse is set in two parts in poetry form. The first half reading, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies." And the second half reading, "That seek him, and that seek him with the whole heart." So that the keeping of his testimonies in the first half of that verse is set in parallel with the second half of that verse and coincides with seeking him. Seeking God. With what? With the whole heart. Notice how keeping his testimonies is set in parallel there with seeking God from the whole heart. This is an obedience from the heart. This walking is. Also from the figure of walking, we are told that this obedience is something that is constant, continual, not something that occurs in fits and starts, but something that is constant, something that is ongoing, something that is consistent. That's what walking is about. Walk at a constant, consistent pace. So this obedience is not only from the heart, it's constant and consistent. The psalmist is going to seek Jehovah from the heart and do it constantly and consistently by being focused on God's law, which is his word. That's the activity he has in mind. Walking, constancy in that walk, and obedience from the heart, focused on the word of God. That at heart is the spiritual activity of the text. But I submit to you, beloved, that it also implies other activities in relation to that word. It implies, necessarily, a constant, a fervent reading and meditation, thinking, thoughtful reading and meditation on the word of God. Let's just focus on the activities of reading, thoughtful reading and meditation in general. These activities of reading and meditation are, in general, and to begin with, being lost in all of the world and environment all around us that we live in. This is not a reading age, unfortunately. This is an age of self-gratification that we live in. This is an age of pleasure-seeking that we live in. This is a world of me and fun, expressed in so many ways. In gaming, electronic gaming. Also in being thoroughly all wrapped up and consumed with sports, and sports. There's a place for sports, but it's another thing altogether to be thoroughly consumed with sports, and sports. That, beloved, has a way of creeping in to the church with us and our children, because that's the environment that we live in. And if we're not careful, that creeps in to be the focus of us and our children. And one way in which we know that that is happening with us is this: if we or our children know better and have a greater interest in or enjoy more the stats of our favorite player, the stats of our favorite team, be it in basketball, hockey, or football, then the Word of God. Parents with me, how much do we desire our children to grow up to be good, strong believers and Christians in the Church of Jesus Christ? Strong Christian and strong Christianity are not going to come about by accident. They're only going to come about by developing an interest, a keen interest in God's Word and knowledge of God's Word from young among our children. It's only going to come about when our children are thoroughly soaked in, drenched in, immersed in God's Word, God's ways through God's Word, and seeing the wonder of that Word and all His ways from young. That soaking and immersion begins in the home with godly, word-based parenting and nurturing from young. And so, family devotions are so important to that end. Not only reading the Word, but explaining and applying the Word to our children. That soaking and immersion in God's Word continues by you and I being good examples before our children of taking seriously that Word. And the good habit of reading, I submit to you, reading good Christian books and literature, a diligent living out also of our Christian duties and callings in life before our children. And yes, that soaking and immersion continues in the way of our children being taught faithfully in the good Christian school, and it is made complete in the way of singing. That's right, singing the Word of God. Singing God's inspired Word. Singing the Psalms. Knowing our Psalter from cover to cover. Knowing it inside out. These songs ought be our friends throughout our pilgrimage for life. The inspired psalmist was a firm believer in this method of soaking. That's why he, under inspiration, wrote this psalm: to know God's Word to remember God's word for the Christian life by singing. Singing that word. Singing God's word is a powerful, powerful way of having God's word and ways immersed more and more in our thinking, in our hearts, and in our lives. And sweet is the fruit of all this activity involving God's word. Reading that word, meditating upon that word, singing that word. What is that fruit? That main fruit is indicated by the words in the second half of verse 2. That seek Him with the whole heart. They who seek Him will be found by Him. They who seek Him will be found by Him and will be found in Him more and more and more. They will know Him. And knowing Him, they will enjoy Him. And enjoying Him, they will enjoy sweet friendship, fellowship, and communion with God all through life. And that, beloved, is the heart of the Christian life. The heart of all the Psalms of God and of the psalmist in Psalm 119. All true religion is about knowing the one true God, the wonderful God that He is, enjoying Him, living our lives before His face to please Him, walking with Him as a child, a little child, holding on to the hand of His Father. That's the picture being drawn, sketched by this psalm. It's the blessedness of walking with Jehovah in His Word. I seek to please Him in all my thoughts, in all my ways. That's why walking in God's Word is not a chore for the child of God. It's enjoyable. That's why spending time, a period of quiet time of devotion with God, with His Word, reading it, meditating on it, amid all the busyness of life, is sweet and precious to the soul. And that's why coming to the house of God to hear Him speak, and for us also to speak to Him, is sweet and precious. It's about the enjoyment of life with God, fellowship with God, sweet friendship and fellowship with Him. It's about the enjoyment of the covenant, the bond or relationship of friendship with Jehovah through Jesus Christ. That also explains the great blessedness of they who walk in God's law. Now, from a negative viewpoint, we stay away from the dreadful and the dreaded experience of forsakenness, which is the very opposite of friendship, fellowship, and communion with God. And that we are reminded of negatively in verse 8. I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. Now that experience of forsakenness is true of the reprobate wicked in an absolute way. They experience no communion and friendship with God. How can they? How can they apart from embracing Jesus Christ by faith? And yet, though not in an absolute way with we who are the children of God, nevertheless, when we stubbornly walk in sin, when we refuse to confess our sin, that feeling of forsakenness is no less real and miserable. The psalmist, not in this psalm, but Psalm 32, tells us so in the verses 3 and 4. There he writes, this is David, inspired David, writing, when I kept silence, My bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Here's David at the peak of his life, at the prime of his strength, young David confessing that his bones wax old, feels like an old man, feels misery. Why? Because he hadn't yet truly and sincerely confessed his sin to Jehovah God. He tells us in verse 5 of Psalm 32, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Undoubtedly, that experience of forgiveness in his soul is in the way of a humble confession. And that is what led the psalmist to cry out and to begin the psalm exactly in the same way as Psalm 119, with the word blessed. There he writes, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, verse 1. Verse 2, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. It's the joy of salvation. It's the joy of knowing that we are forgiven by God. It's the joy of a wholehearted, clean walk with God. These verses not only speak of the great seriousness of sin and the great divine displeasure of God that comes with it, it also points us to the way of joy and blessedness, the way of walking with Jehovah in and through the precious blood of his Son that alone gives us forgiveness. That's the great blessedness being set forth in this psalm. It's the joy of walking with God by walking in and keeping or obeying God's word from the heart, and the constancy of doing so all through life, from very young, as we are given a hint of the psalmist in verse 9. Young man he was. He was determined to walk constantly in God's word, to be kept from sin, to be walking in Jehovah's way, to be pleasing God. There is no greater joy than that. The joy of pleasing God, the joy of the fullness of pleasing God, as we are given to know in this life, and to grow in the fullness of that joy. That was the determination of the psalmist. The whole psalm is about this: the joy of the Christian life, which is this: the joy of pleasing God and the joy of walking in his ways. That's what it is about. That great blessedness comes in a twofold formula in these verses. First of all, there is the clean conscience derived from such a walk of holiness, a walk of purity that we are given indication of by the phrase undefiled in the way, in the text. Psalmist had a clean conscience and desired to have that clean conscience throughout his life. Even more, in the second place, nothing can really describe the great blessedness of all who seek Jehovah from their whole heart, who are found by him and found in him and his ways. We enjoy sweet communion and friendship with him throughout our entire earthly pilgrimage. Trials and troubles may come away our way, but nothing is going to rob us of the joy of the Christian life, the joy of pleasing God, walking in his ways. Great blessedness this is. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word, a Word which calls our attention to the joy of the Christian life. Thou, Lord, hast redeemed us by the blood of Thy Son, so that we may have the fullness of joy, the fullness of joy that is experienced with a fullness of fellowship with Thee and through Thy Son. We confess, O Lord, that there are many things that keep us from that joy and from being focused upon that Word. Help us, O Lord, to have these distractions more and more taken away. Help us, O Lord, each one of us, to make it a priority to seek Thy face with undivided heart by having Thy Word as our focus and center of attention throughout our lives. May it be so with us as well as our children. Bless us, O Lord, and forgive us of our sins. We pray in Jesus' name.